Because when I teach the Course in Miracles, I know that there's two things going on with the people, including myself. There's a part of themselves that does not want to hear the truth, because that part of themselves would be destroyed if they heard the truth. So I know that as much as you're sitting up in here, there's another part of you that doesn't want you to be sitting up in here. And from day and from class to class or moment to moment, I know you're choosing between the part of you that wants to access the truth and the part of you that's trying to keep from accessing the truth. And so the Course says that part of us that doesn't want us to access the truth keeps us busy doing what it calls busy with non-essentials. So it keeps us all the time working on stuff, planning stuff, visualizing stuff, trying to make stuff, trying to deal with stuff, because while we're doing that, we're not focusing on how to access the computer. And it also tells us that we know everything. And so, therefore, I not only don't want to access the truth, I want to believe I'm right. And so now that I'm not my ego anymore, but I realize I'm seeing the residue of my ego, then it's easier for me to stop that process. It's why, while I thought I was Earl Purdy, it was very difficult to get any handle on Earl Purdy's actions. It was darn near impossible. As long as I thought I was Earl Purdy, black man, body, you could tell me as much truth as you want to teach me, I could read, but I still go out of here and act just like any other person acts all the time, because I still thought that was who I was. So I was told that, how does it go? As long as you can change your beliefs, but your beliefs do not become an idea that changes your reality until you apply it. So you have people constantly studying the truth, but their life doesn't change because they change their belief in the sense that they now think that they think, I believe I create my reality. Then they wonder why the reality doesn't change. And it doesn't change because they don't live like they create their reality. So until you live the belief, then the belief cannot create the new world. And the living of it is the little part of it that in most cases is left out. That's why you can sit around and you could get a group of people who study all these books, and we could talk about this all weekend, and nothing would change. Because talking about it and living it is two different things. And so I'm really beginning to get the importance of application at a level that I've never gotten the importance of application. And I'm finding out that the application of the truth is easier than any application that the ego has ever given me to apply. So really what I'm being asked to do is easier than what my ego used to tell me to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot easier to believe that I have no need that God would not fulfill if I had that need than for me to feel like I had to hustle up to make enough money to live off of, which is what my ego would tell me. You see the difference? One, though, requires a foreign thought system, a new way of thinking that's totally unlike anything that I'm hearing from the world. And that's the difference. The difference is I'm asked to accept a new thought system and to live by that new thought system. And that's where I'm at in my personal journey. You know, I don't know where you all are at in your personal journey, but would anybody care to share where they are in their personal journey today? Like where you see yourself as being in your journey today? I mean, that would be helpful. I think it would be cool to find out. What phase of it do you think you're in? Trying to hear it, accepting it, or right now the focus is on living it? You know, where are you at on that?
I think one of the things I noticed, I used to be really judgmental about, like in traffic or something, I'd say, you jerk, mm-hmm. or, you know, you creep, or, you mm-hmm. know, I was really kind of mean to people, and now I see people and go, well, sister, I'm thinking about you, I'm hoping you have a good day, and, you know, I'm sort of like more, there's just a genuine, you know, now that I feel connected to, you know, people, that I try to send that energy, you know, to people around me where I go. And I had to do a business thing today, and I started to feel really uncomfortable, like there were people judging me or criticizing me, and I just said, well, that, you know, I don't know, but I just like clicked into the I'm not a body, I am free, you know, it just like sort of like lifted that fear that I was having about people judging me, and so there's this freedom taking place that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else? Yeah, where you see yourself as being in your past.
quite a roller coaster, but just briefly, this big challenge with the monkey mind. And what's interesting, I was just reading something Eckhart Tolle said about grace, like the shift to awaken, that's grace. Like, you don't make it happen, but then you practice, like you said, you get the recipe for the cake,
mm-hmm.
you'll get this big cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you practice that. And for the first time, I really have a sense of, I mean, I certainly have a sense of presence or being in the now, but a real, you know, that inner essence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really practicing staying in this place. And the chattering monkey, in a way, it's almost good because it's like I'm really aware of the chattering monkey. So this is me. Right here, right?
Uh-huh.
With the dog's barking.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like my friend gave me permission to say, just sit down. You can tell it to sit down.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I think, you know, even yesterday, there was a sense of me, maybe it's true.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's real.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, it's not real.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So now I really feel like I'm right here, baby.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I want to stay here.
Uh-huh.
And I never really had that sense. Like, I was like, can you feel it? Like, I can't feel it. I intellectually understand what you're talking
uh-huh.
about, and
mm-hmm.
I have all these wonderful moments.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, oh, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. And so I don't feel like I'm afraid of the monkey mind anymore.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else?
I just came from my yoga class. Micah sits totally below, by the way. And
who did?
Micah.
Oh, okay.
Micah. And our whole thing was concentrating on opening heart chakra. And I think that's what's going on in my life, is that I am getting out of the mental feel what is going on and what relationships, you know, I'm comfortable with, and just feeling and being in my heart. So that's big for me,
mm-hmm.
to get out of the mental and the looking mm-hmm. mind and the
mm-hmm.
whole, you
mm-hmm.
know, to stop that chatter and to really open up to my own good, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, this is so helpful to me. Anybody else? We just asked anybody if they'd be willing to briefly share where they think they are right now on that path. Like, are you accepting it? Are you wanting to accept it? Are you planning? Like, where are you? Where are you at right now? Okay.
I think I'm working with living it in my special relationships.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have
uh-huh.
two daughters in their 20s, and I'm doing much better with them and not getting caught up in all their dramas and just letting them
Amen.
Make mistakes.
Amen.
And learn. Yeah, so that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And my husband's a different story. We all have different.
Well, he's the most special.
<He's>
you can always tell who the most special.
Yeah.
I can always tell who's the most special. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
I feel like my life is so incredible that I do that thing that you talk about where I go, I know now.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel this big blast of love. I can feel it like an energy coming at me, and my mind goes numb. I get scared.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
The hardest thing for
yes.
me is just what I learned recently. I have a hard time accepting love, receiving it.
Uh-huh.
That's because I'm always an ego, and
mm-hmm.
I try. See it, but then some intuitive thought told me to go into the, when I'm in the love realm, then I receive it naturally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the other night I was just sitting there and this thought comes to me, I've heard this before and I always think it's so crazy, just pray for people, like, but I started doing it. It's incredible because prayer is such an incredible psychological trick. I don't know what it is, but
I love
it
how
changes my consciousness.
I love how the Course definition, one of the Course in Miracles definitions of prayer is asking to be able to recognize what you've already received.
Yeah.
It says that that's the truth, that true prayer is asking to be able to recognize what you already have. And I used to wonder what was the real power of that. Then I realized it was this. That's how you have things instantly. It's the key to transcending time. Because if you ask for something you already have, then it doesn't take time to receive it. But as soon as you ask from the perspective that you're lacking, then you're saying that you have a core belief you don't have it. And then that's why it's difficult to achieve.
That's a crazy thing, is every time I think I want something, when I finally get it, I realize it's been right in front of my face.
There you go.
The whole time. It's just a matter of seeing it. It's right there. It's always better. Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else? Take about 5 more minutes and I'm going to jump into it. But I think we're at a level of consciousness where it's important to recognize how much communication is healing. And that every time we communicate to each other, we decrease the sense of separation that we feel with each other. And the more we decrease our sense of separation from each other, the more spirit can come through and heal us. So it may seem like you're just saying something, but the truth that you, the fact that you trusted us enough to say something is some very symbolic of a joining that makes us love each other more and feel more at peace with each other because we seem less of strangers and we also see our mutual needs. Because it wasn't a thing I've heard so far that I couldn't completely identify with. I bet you that's true of everybody else. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, when I was just in Vietnam and I discovered there that
I go to Memphis, you go to Vietnam.
Same temperature, but the in communist Vietnam, there's not any tourists there, so nobody spoke English. Nobody I stayed with, nobody in the town. I didn't see another foreigner the whole time I was there. And people, you know, would come up and wave, hello, hello, and try to practice their little English. So I mean, it was cute, and everyone at the house loved me, and I realized they loved me because I was like a dog. You know, I didn't talk. I just knew how to say thank you and, you know, wag my tail and be appreciative. But I realized what a prison it is to not be able to communicate. Because I couldn't go anywhere. Because I don't know how to read the signs. I can't tell anybody I'm lost. Where do I go home? You know, I mean, there's just nothing. I couldn't. There was no mobility. And there was an intimacy with anybody. It's impossible without communication. So there was just a total, I got to experience what that, how important it is.
Did you realize that's what you were getting into or choosing or to have an experience?
A little bit. And I also knew I wanted to go really dive into the book.
In
the course book. I knew no matter what happened, I could sit in a prison cell for a month and read this book. It would, you know, it wouldn't be a waste of time. So I knew going over there would give me that opportunity. But I didn't realize, you know, that there were amazing moments of peace and stillness and what you just described in the beginning of where I go like this almost by the hour right now where I'm like totally trusting that I'm taken care of and I just do the next indicated thing and things just show up and roll out in front of me like they have for 3 months. But now it's like, now I'm on that payment side of that where I got to pay for my pleasure and I got, and now the survival thing's kicking back up and that's, you know, so I'm back and forth and yes, where I'm at, and I just picked this up, you know, this morning I shared with this. It says that you have barely started to allow your first uncertain steps to be directed up the ladder separation led you down. The miracle alone is your concern at present. So that's where I'm at.
Me too. Me too. All right.
I was going to say that I know that I'm on the right path and because more and more people are thinking I'm crazy.
Congratulations.
You guys are trying to hold me down, and I'm healing myself, and I'm finding that a lot of people are coming to me that need healing. Because I've been where they've been. It's just surprising how people just spit out their problems to me, and it's the first time meeting them.
Anybody else? We just ask for people who feel like to share where they are on their path right now. What's the main thing they're realizing right now or noticing or seeing?
Well, I know I'm making progress because I'm hitting another spot of unsettling.
Okay.
And made some real good positive advances, and now the ego, it's really weird. It's like it's just at the veneer. There's a veneer covering, and the ego, I've been sarcastic. I thought I was witty, but... and it's because I made these big surges related to some long time issues, all based on the course and where I am in the course. I've been doing rejectionist protection and redirection. I've been doing that one, and it's amazing. The ego is waiting for any half inch opening to come out. And then what I've got to do, the way the universe works, is within 24 hours I have an opportunity to meet with the person, do an amends, and go on. And that's how it's been going, because I'm hitting this other level of connection with the God force. That's it. So the ego's doing all this stuff. Way down here, all these years now with the ego.
Yeah.
But right here, just any old, yeah. Line of King Supers, and the cashier does something, and then the head cashier comes over. And I mean, the baggy boy moved away 3 feet. What's that? And the next day, I thought, well, I don't want to deal with the cashier lady, because some do the check, self checkout. Well, how she comes over, and it's her turn to be the self checkout. So it's just kind of unsettling.
Yeah, I like that.
Coming to you, Earl, because you said about 2 years ago that's a sign that you're making progress.
Well, you know, you have your ego has to, you know, you have to die to be reborn, but it's really talking about your thought system, your self concept, your perception. That's what happened to me when I went to Memphis. It's like the same person as the being that's sitting here is not the same being that left at all. Completely different. The body looks the same, you know, so I have to deal with that. You know, because people would think you are who you used to be the last time they saw you, because you look like the same person, you know. And I'm not. It's like it was a period of a major consciousness shift. And so I was curious to see who was going to show up today, who was going to show up Sunday, which was interesting, because I said many times, if you've been here for a while, that when I make a consciousness shift, my class shifts. People who've been coming stop coming. Some people hang, they're with me on the next level, and then a bunch of new people come in. But it's always a change in my class when I change consciousness. And it was amazing to hear how many of you were recognizing the exact same thing that I'm recognizing. So it's like, in the common thread I heard among everybody was more of a perception of a separation between themselves and their ego. You know, everybody was saying, well, I saw my ego try to do da 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 da, and then I had to tell myself da 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 da, oh, I'm trying to work my ego out of my special relationship. So the mere fact that you can do that is the proof that you're recognizing you're not your ego, because the ego cannot stand outside of itself and describe itself. When a person's in their ego, it is them. They're not talking from the perspective of my ego made me do anything. They're saying, I did this. I cussed them out. I am mad at my son. See, when you're in the ego, you say the erroneous thought system as a statement of fact. When you learn how to transcend your ego, you will look back and say, I can really tell that my ego is really trying to defend against the truth right now. Really trying to make me mad. Oh, I can really tell. Oh, that's just my ego that made me get that person a finger in the traffic. You know, in other words, you start this. Now, the next level that we're gonna move from. Well, those poor people come to my AMT. Anyway, I'm looking so forward to that. I need 5 hours of intense focus on what feeds me.
When is that going
to
be?
This Saturday from 10 to 3. And the position is this. We have already let go of our ego. We're just watching what it does as it fades away. And we're learning how to recognize it as it fades away. That's the stance that you want to take for this level of consciousness that's easier. If you take it like, I'm trying to get rid of my ego, I'm trying to humble my ego, I'm trying to get in control of my ego, that's old school. New school is, I am the Holy Son of God. I am spirit. I am not my ego, but I still have some of the old patterns and thoughts that my ego used to have, and I'm watching my ego fade away. See the difference? That's sort of like asking to recognize what you've already received. That's the same thing. It's easier for me to let go of something that's already gone. Okay, so don't try to analyze it at all. Okay, just go. I am the accomplished. I have learned how to recognize my ego. I am not the separate me. Now I'm watching it fade away. I'm watching the residue of its old patterns, and I'm learning to let them fade away. I'll show you what I mean. In the preface of the course, Roman numeral 12, it starts out with a paragraph. It says perception is a function of the body. Perception is a function of the body, and therefore perception represents a limit on awareness. Perception sees through the body's eyes and hears through the body's ears. Perception evokes the limited responses which the body makes. The body appears to be largely self-motivated and independent. The body appears to be largely self-motivated and independent. The body appears to be largely self-motivated and independent. Yet, your body actually responds only to the intentions of your mind. Your body is only responding to the intentions of your mind. I'm making it more personal. If your mind wants to use the body for attack in any form, your body becomes prey to sickness, age, and decay if the mind wants to use the body for attack in any form. The Course in Miracles reads circular. I show you. The body becomes prey to sickness, age, and decay if the mind wants to use the body for attack in any form. It becomes prey to sickness and age and decay in any way if the... So if the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for the body instead of attack, the body becomes a useful way of communicating with others. If the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for the body becomes a useful way of communicating with others. If the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for the body instead, the body becomes a useful way of communication with others. Invulnerable as long as the body is needed, and to be gently laid by when its use is over. If we use the body for the purpose of joining and healing, the body becomes a useful way of communicating with others, which means it will not be hurt as long as you need it. And as soon as you don't need your body anymore, you won't be hit by a truck. Your body will just be gently laid down. So correct death, quote unquote, is a body that's healthy in your perception of it, that's gently laid down. You would probably just die in your sleep or something. Or some very gentle way. It wouldn't be dramatic and painful and all that stuff. I like that. I got a couple other ways I'd like to go, but I won't talk about it. that's the advanced mind. That's what I'm talking about. But it probably makes somebody feel very guilty. But I won't get that. But hopefully, it'll be a cool
student.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like somebody's making love and they croak.
Yeah,
then the person that, you know, that would be a deep core belief, you know, for you to have. Oh, people make love to me, they die.
That's how
we want to start. Yeah, so you have to remember what you asked for.
Yeah, but a loving thought system would have you both croak at the same time.
Yeah, now that.
There you go.
And so, okay, is everybody clear on that? Okay. You know, I never want to get too holy to talk about sex.
There you go, brother.
I never do. I never want to become one of those people. Okay. If the mind wants to use the body for attack in any form, the body becomes prey to sickness, age, and decay. If the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for the body instead, what does that mean? You always ask yourself, what does that mean? Then right after the comment tells you, it becomes a useful way of communicating with others. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose. it becomes invulnerable as long as it's needed. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose. And your body will be gently laid down that once this use of communication and joining invulnerably is over. Of itself, the body is neutral. Of itself, the body is neutral. Your body is neutral. Your body is neutral. Your body is neutral. As is everything in the world of perception, your body is neutral just like everything else you see is neutral. Your body is neutral just like everything else you see is neutral. What does that mean? Well, whether your body is used for the goals of the ego or the Holy Spirit, which is the same as saying whether your body is used for the goals of fear or the goals of love, which is the same as saying whether your body is used for the goals of separation or the goal of joining, depends entirely on what the mind wants. What your mind wants determines what your body is used for. Agreed? You use your body for what to get you what you want. Okay. The opposite of seeing through the body's eyes, which is the way we see, is the vision of Christ, which reflects strength rather than weakness, which means it's a way of seeing that reflects unity rather than separation. It's a way of seeing that reflects love rather than fear. See, if you follow along with me, see how the Course reads? Because one of the things about the Course is I hear all the time the ego's greatest defense against the Course is getting people to believe that they can't read it. And it's really easier to read than most books. It's just like everything else about it, it's easier. It explains itself as it goes along, so you never have to figure anything out. Like, for instance, when it said that the opposite of seeing through the body's eyes is the vision of Christ. Okay, then somebody would say, well, what is the vision of Christ? Read the next part of it. Well, it's a way of seeing that reflects strength rather than weakness. It's a way of seeing that you see unity instead of separation. It's a way that you see that is love instead of fear. So the vision of Christ is, I'm seeing union with you instead of separation with you. I'm feeling love with you and not fear with you. And I feel strong and I see you as strong. That's the vision of Christ. Then it says, the opposite of hearing through the body's ears is communication through the voice for God. Then it says, comma, the Holy Spirit. So the voice for God is what? The Holy Spirit, which abides where? In each of us. So the voice for God is in each one of us. The voice for God is in each one of us. The voice for God is in each one of us. The voice of God is in each one of us. The voice of God is in each one of us. The voice of God is in each one of us. The voice of God is in each one of us. Spirit told me to do a lot of repeating. So you're going to hear me do a lot of repeating from now, because it's all about hearing it. So the voice for God is in each one of us. God's voice seems distant and difficult to hear. God's voice seems hard to hear. God's voice seems hard to hear. God's voice seems hard to hear because the ego, and here's the definition of the ego. The ego is what? The part of us which speaks for the little separated self seems to be so much louder. So the reason why a person does not hear the voice for God is because they're listening to the voice that speaks for their little self. I don't hear the voice for God because I'm listening to the voice that's speaking for my separated self. I don't hear the voice for God because I'm listening to the voice that speaks for my little self. I'm not hearing the voice for God because I'm listening to the voice that's always telling me about my little self and what's little and what's wrong and what's not there and what's lacking and what's bad and what's not going to work out. That's why I don't hear God's voice. That's why I don't hear God's voice. This is actually reversed. I love it. He says, this is actually reversed. Actually, the Holy Spirit speaks with unmistakable clarity and overwhelming appeal. Why don't I hear it? The Holy Spirit speaks with overwhelming clarity. God speaks with overwhelming clarity. Why don't I hear what my true self is saying to me? Okay, there you go. Here's the next sentence. It anticipates what you're going to ask yourself before you ask yourself, and if you keep reading, it answers it. It says, no one who doesn't choose to identify with the body could possibly be deaf to the Holy Spirit's messages of release and hope no one who doesn't choose to identify with the body, nor could they fail to accept joyously the vision of Christ in glad exchange for their miserable picture of themselves. So, the reason why I do not hear the Holy Spirit's voice is I choose to identify with the body. I don't hear the Holy Spirit's voice because I choose to identify with my body. I do not hear God's voice because I choose to identify with being a body. I do not hear God's voice because I think I'm just a body. I do not hear God's voice because I think I'm just a body. So therefore, I can't hear the truth because I think I am a body. So I fail to accept joyously the vision of Christ in glad exchange for my miserable picture of myself. So if I have a miserable picture of myself, it is because I am choosing to identify with the voice of my ego, the voice of my little self, and the voice that thinks I'm a body. If I am full of fear, it means I am listening to my ego. Christ's vision is the Holy Spirit's gift. Is Christ's vision is the Holy Spirit's gift. Is Christ's vision the Holy Spirit's gift? Is Christ's vision is the Holy Spirit's gift. So what is the Christ vision? God's alternative to the illusion of separation and to the belief in the reality of sin, guilt, and death. Christ's vision is the one correction for all errors of perception, the reconciliation of the seeming opposites on which this world is based. Christ's vision's kindly sight shows all things from another point of view, reflecting the thought system that arises from knowledge and making return to God not only possible, but makes the return to God inevitable. What does that mean? You read a lot and you go, okay, that sounds like jelly in my mind. What does that mean? That means what was regarded as injustices done to you by someone else, you now see it becoming a call for help, which is a call for union. So if I'm using Christ's vision, it looks like you're doing something to me, but you are calling for help and union. It looks like you're doing something to me, but you're calling for help and union. It looks like you're being unfair to me, but you're really calling for help. You're really calling for help. It looks like you're being unfair to me, but you're really calling for help. That's what you say when you are using correct perception. You would say, it looks like this injustice is being done to me right now, but what this really is a call for help, a call for union. And here's another thing you can see it as to really transform it. Say, this is a lesson and a gift. This is a lesson and a gift. What I'm going through right now is a lesson and a gift. It's a lesson and a gift. Whatever I'm going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Okay, so let's say that. Whatever I'm going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever I am going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever I am going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Okay, now, this is where I like to invite us to do it. Okay, we're going to go in a circle, starting with me. And what I want you to say is simply, what you're going through right now is a lesson and a gift. And let me hear you say that twice. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, we're healing each other now. We're going to heal each other today. We're going to help each other. I'm going to sit here, and you're going to say, whatever you're going through right now is a lesson and a gift, twice. Then he's going to be quiet. And we're going to go to the right, and then we're going to say, whatever you're going through right now is a lesson in the gift. Whatever you're going through right now is a lesson in the gift. Then you're going to be quiet, and then we're going to stand for you until we go all the way around the circle. Got it? Okay. So we start with me, and you just say, what you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Okay? Let's go.
What you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. What you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
And then I said, thank you. And then we do the next person. Okay? Whatever you are going through right now, okay, is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. And one thing you might consider is when we're doing it, is to close your eyes and just let yourself hear it coming to you from every direction going through your body. You can do anything you want to, but I would invite you to do that. Just let yourself receive. Okay? Ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
Thank you.
Ready? Okay, let's go. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Are they ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
Thanks.
Y'all got something going on right now, right? Okay, you ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
Thank you.
Ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
Wow. Cool.
Ready, brother? You're welcome. Ready? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift.
Thank you.
Right. Brother? Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever you are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Okay? Whatever we are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Whatever we are going through right now is a lesson and a gift. Okay.
We really needed that.
That's amazing.
I'm telling you, I'm tapping into the power of us. Okay. Then it says, what was regarded as injustice is done to one by someone else now becomes a call for help and for union, and what? A lesson and a gift. Sin, sickness, and attack are seen as misperceptions calling for remedy through gentleness and love. So when I look at Iraq on the news, I am looking at a misperception calling for remedy through gentleness and love. That's a Savior's position. A Savior's position looks at the NBC News for half an hour and goes, whatever I'm seeing on this newscast is calling for remedy through gentleness and love. This is something else that's calling for remedy through gentleness and love. That car accident is another misperception calling for remedy through gentleness and love. Defenses are laid down because when there is no attack, there is no need for defenses. So a person that's no longer being attacked or feels like they're being attacked is also a person that's not defensive. Our brother's needs become our own needs because our brothers or sisters, when the Course says brothers, I'm explaining the Course's definition of brother is a man joined in love. So brother has nothing to do with a male body or a female body. So it says, our brother's needs, the minds that are joined with ours, needs become our needs because we're taking they're taking the journey with us as we go to God. So you all are taking the journey with me as I go to love. You all are taking the journey with me. We are taking the journey together as we all go to love. We're taking the journey together as we all go to love. It's like we're right now on a jet and we're all taking a journey to love together. Without us, they would lose their way. Without them, we could never find our own way. So, I would lose my way without you. You would lose your way without me. I would lose my way without you. You would lose your way without me. I would lose my way. Now, the ego teaches you that to say something like that is negative in terms of looking like you're being dependent on somebody else. Being interdependent is different from being dependent. Dependent and interdependent is two different things, and we are interdependent. That's obvious. Because you have a need doesn't mean that you're lacking. It's just a recognition that you really have something that right now you are denying. So that's not the same as not having it. So a lack of money is the denial of my wealth. That doesn't mean I don't have it. It means I'm denying it. So seeing a denial as a request for the thing that is being denied is the way you transform a lack.
Repeat that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can come through and come to me again. To see the thing that you think you lack as a denial of the thing that you actually have is the way you transform the lack. I see financial lack as my denial of my wealth. I couldn't deny something that I didn't believe was there. So denying something is not saying it doesn't exist. It's saying you're choosing not to know that it exists. So you could go, I'm choosing not to know my wealth. I'm choosing not to know my health. I'm choosing not to know my right relationship. I'm choosing not to know my happiness. If you say it that way, then you are actually affirming that you have happiness.
Uh-huh.
You see the difference? Choosing not to know is denial. Choosing not to know. Okay. So, forgiveness is unknown in heaven. Where the need for forgiveness would be inconceivable. However, in this world, forgiveness is a necessary correction for all the mistakes we've made. Is forgiveness in this world. However, to offer forgiveness, he says, forgiveness is a necessary correction for all the thoughts that we have, for all the mistakes we've made. To offer forgiveness is the only way for us to have it, is to offer forgiveness is the only way for us to have correct perception, because forgiveness reflects the law of heaven, which is that giving and receiving are the same, 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 giving and receiving are the same. Giving. I want you to allow the world to give back to you. Allow the world to give back to you. Allow the world to give back to you. Giving means to allow the world to give back to you. Allow the world to give back to you. Allow the world to give back to you. Giving and receiving are the same. One is not more holy than the other. It's not any more holy to give than to receive. Allow the world to give to you. Allow the world to give back to you. I allow the world to give to me. 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 Giving and receiving are the same. 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 Heaven is the natural state of all the sons of God as God created us. Heaven is our reality forever. together. Heaven, which is perfect joy. Heaven, which is complete joy. As the Course defines heaven, complete joy, complete love, complete happiness, hasn't changed because it hasn't been forgotten. Forgiveness is the means by which we will remember. Forgiveness is the means by which we will remember. Forgiveness is correct perception. So correct perception is the means by which we will remember. Is correct perception is the way that we'll remember. Is correct perception. Through forgiveness, which is what?
Correct.
Correct perception. The thinking of the world is reversed through correct perception. What is perception? Interpretation. Perception is interpretation. Your perception is your interpretation. Your perception is your interpretation. My perception is my interpretation. So the answer is, through correct interpretation, the thinking of the world is reversed. Forgiveness reverses the thinking of the world. That means correct interpretation, correct perception, forgiveness is how the thinking of the world is reversed. The forgiven world, would the forgiven world be the correctly perceived world?
Yes.
Okay, the correctly perceived world becomes the gate of heaven, because by its mercy we can at last forgive ourselves. Now, how do you forgive yourself? You hold no one prisoner to guilt. We become free, holding no one prisoner, we become free. Holding no one prisoner to guilt, we become free. Holding no, that's why the first thing I try to tell the people in my life is, you're innocent. You're innocent. This might be a mistake. This might be a screwed up thing for me to do or you to do. But the truth is, I want to free you. And I'm going to free you by not keeping you prisoner to thinking you're guilty. Because if I can support you in not feeling guilty, I will be freed from pain, from lack, from sickness, from attack, from loneliness, from depression, from age, from disease. All of that will happen if I won't hold you all to guilt. I've got to let go of blame. I've got to let go of blame. I've got to stop blaming myself. I've got to stop blaming you. I've got to stop blaming myself. I've got to stop blaming you. I've got to stop blaming myself. I've got to stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. I must stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. I must stop blaming you. Anybody care to say that? I must stop blaming myself. I must stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. I must stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. And I must stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. And I must stop blaming you. I must stop blaming myself. I must stop blaming them. I must stop blaming myself. And I must stop blaming them. I must stop blaming myself. And I must stop blaming them. You know who them are, right?
Yeah.
Everybody got a them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody, I must stop blaming you, because we don't realize how much of our ego thought system is grounded in the structure of blame. And the minute you let go of the idea of blame, you let go of 99% of the whole fabric of your ego.
What was the number?
No, I was just saying that when you stop, when you let go of the idea of blame, you completely you have completely undone the fabric and the structure of the entire ego.
Wow.
It's all linked to blame. It's all linked to blame. The minute you let go of the idea of, people don't know that, as soon as you start to chip away at the idea of blaming yourself or blaming anyone else, you are pulling the underpinnings of the ego's whole thought system, and your whole ego thought system, you are destroying it. Because it all rests on, I am the victim of you. That's blame. So as soon as you let go of the idea of blame, you completely do a major job on any fear that you have about anything. And eventually, all the fear that you have about anything will fall away when you let go of the idea of blaming yourself. Now, the temptation is going to be to blame yourself and not to blame others.
Yeah.
Okay, the temptation is going to be, I'm going to stop blaming everybody else for what I'm going through, but you'll still be just as hard on yourself as you've ever been. To blame yourself has the exact same power as blaming others. To blame yourself has exactly the same power as blaming others. So if you're going to still blame, go and blame somebody else.
There you go.
Okay, if you're going to hold on to blame, I'd like to advise you to go ahead and blame everybody else. Okay, but if you take the blame off of everybody else and put it on yourself, it's going to have the exact same ego effect as it would if you were blaming someone else. I remember I was a kid, and I heard that somebody told me from the Bible that thinking it was as bad as doing it. It's something like that, like, you know, just you think it in your heart. Something. But that's what I'm going to go do with me. Why, if it's the same of me to think of it, I'm so proud of you. I mean, at least I'm going to get the same punishment. I'm going to be because I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't make sense to me to say doing it in my mind was as real as doing it in the body.
Thank you, President Clinton.
Okay. So, I did not have sex with that woman. But if we're all one, if we're all one, I'm afraid we all did. But anyway.
I think that's such a good point. That's another one of those sneaky, when you talk about the tricks of the ego.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to blame any of you. I'll just think to myself. I'll be better. You know, the spiritual ego.
Right? Yeah, the spiritual ego. That's what I call it. The spiritual ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's the most insidious ego of all. Of all the ego. You think the ego that murders people is the one that's the insidious ego? No, it's the spiritual ego. It's the spiritual ego. Because it constantly beats you up about not living up to the ideals you set for yourself.
Mm. Right.
It's okay.
How can you get away from victim and then take responsibility for your life, except not blame yourself?
Blaming yourself is different from taking responsibility. Responsibility is your ability to respond. So when we're talking about taking responsibility, we're talking about you have the ability to choose how you're going to experience whatever it is that you are experiencing. That you are the one that's responsible for how you're seeing it, how you're feeling it. Okay, blame means that you've done something bad or wrong, or that you had no power in that situation, or somebody else didn't have any power in that situation to what you were going to do to them, or vice versa. So blame is more of a position of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Blame is, I'm to blame for that. The subtle difference between blame and responsibility is more of a feeling than an intellectual idea that I give you. If you're blaming yourself, you're feeling guilty and upset about whatever's going on. If you're taking responsibility for what's going on, you're feeling lighter and you're feeling more powerful and you're feeling more love for yourself. That's the difference. If I'm taking responsibility for my relationship with you, then I feel empowered by the kind of relationship I can have with you. If I feel like I'm at blame for what's happening between us, I feel guilty and I want to separate from you. So blame takes me in a weak, guilty place. And responsibility makes me feel like I have some choice and some power in that situation to bring about a change. That's the difference. So, when one is based on, do you want to see yourself as guilty or do you want to see yourself as innocent? That's the other thing. Because you could just as easily go, you know what? I don't want to blame myself anymore. And if I'm feeling bad, I'm blaming myself. And that would be all you really needed to know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm not looking at this correctly. How do I know? Because I don't like myself right now. I'm upset with myself. So this God wouldn't possibly give me a way to look at this that would make me feel bad. God would give me a way of looking at this that would correct my perception of it and empower me so that I won't do it again. Because that's the only applicable message of anything that you do to hurt yourself is just don't do it again. It has nothing to do with guilt. It has to do with don't do that again. Don't make that choice again. Do it differently again. But if I'm more into the guilt than I am into my innocence, then I'm going to do it again. Because it's what I use to make myself feel guilty, and guilt makes me feel separate, and feeling separate is the ego's goal. So the ego wants you to feel separate. Feeling guilty is the easiest way to feel separate, so we do things that make us feel guilty in order to protect our separation. So all pain is just a defense against the truth. But we don't have to learn through pain anymore. You don't have to learn through pain anymore. You don't have to learn through pain anymore. You don't have to learn through pain. Pain? You can learn through pain. 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 You can learn through the extremes of the human experience. But you no longer have to learn through the extremes of suffering of the human experience. If you so choose, you don't have to learn through pain. You no longer have to learn through pain. Will there be people around you that still want to learn through pain? Yes, there will be people around you who will still want to learn through pain. What do you do with the people around you that still want to learn through pain? You give the people around you who still want to learn through pain to their Holy Spirit within themselves. And if there's anything for you to do, you will be told. And in most cases, you'll be doing it without even knowing that you're doing it, so that it could be really done with the right attitude. Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. When I decide I want to help you my way, it could be the last thing that I need to do. Consciously selected help can be misguided. me sitting back saying, I know what's best for you all, can be misguided.
Damn.
Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. I don't know what you need. God does. But then if I want to make up like I know what you need, then he says, well, what you should do is go, you need union, you need help, you need love. That's what you need. If I'm going to make up a need for you, you need love. If I'm going to make up a need for you, you need freedom. If I'm going to make up a need for you, you need me to leave you to hell alone. Unless God so wills we help each other. And in that case, probably there'd be some peace coming down if God is behind it. There'd be some sense of power coming down. There'd be some sense of joy coming down if love is behind my help. If fear is behind my help, even though we're trying to help each other, well, I'm trying to help you, there's only resistance, only struggle, only attack, only argument. Ah, fear must be behind this desire, not love. So I'm the one that needs to be healed because I'm the one offering fear when I should be offering love. So then it becomes me allowing myself to be healed. And so if I really want to help you, I leave you alone and ask God to correct my mind. If there's struggle and resistance happening between us. I'll finish this last two sentences. Hold no one prisoner to guilt. We become free, holding no one prisoner to guilt. We become free, holding no one prisoner to guilt. We become free. Acknowledging Christ, what would be a good word for Christ? Love or fear?
Love.
Acknowledging love in all our brothers, we recognize love's presence in ourselves. Acknowledging it in you, I recognize it in me. Acknowledging it in you, I recognize it in me. See, I try to cut my losses by just being around people as much as I can that I like.
Cool.
That's how I cut the losses. My inner circle is going to be people. Friends are chosen. You might even look like you're not choosing your family, but you even choose that. But if you don't even believe that, you know you choose your friends. So there's no excuse for having a circle around you that's not a circle that inspires you if you choose your friends. So it's easier for me to acknowledge something in you and see it in me if I really think it is in you because I really like you. Okay? So acknowledging the Christ in our brothers, acknowledging the love in our brothers, we recognize love's presence in ourselves. Forgetting all our misperceptions. With nothing from the past to hold us back, we can remember God. How do we remember God? Forgetting all our misperceptions, what does that mean? Letting nothing from our past hold us back. Don't let anything from your past hold you back. Don't let anything from your past learning hold you back. Don't let anything from your past old learning hold you back. Don't let any of the world's old learning hold you back. Don't let any of the world's old teachings hold you back. Don't let your ego's teachings hold you back, and you will remember God. You will remember love. Beyond remembering God, learning cannot go any further than help you remember the truth. The most learning can do is to help you remember the truth, but the learning cannot take you beyond the truth. Your learning cannot go beyond remembering the truth. So when we are ready, what did it say? When we are ready, what did it say? When we are ready, when we are ready, when we are ready, God Himself will take the final step in our return to God. When we are ready, our Creator will take the final step, the last step, when I'm ready. Love will take the last step in joining in connection when I'm ready. The complete joy and happiness, the connection and union that this book is talking about will not happen until I am ready. Okay, we are ready. We are ready. We're just seeing what we used to believe before we became ready. And you are seeing in other people what you used to believe before you became ready. That's why you can't condemn them without condemning yourself, because you're just seeing the same thought system that you yourself have believed in and still have some residue of seeing leave. See the difference? And that's how we heal. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Whatever it was. Thank you, Mama.
I just want to be a representation of my truest self in the physical body. Just have just simple needs. I just want to be myself in my body. I just want to be my real self in my body. I want to be my real self in my body. I want to be my real self in my body. I want to be my true self in my body. I want to be my real self in my body instead of my false self in my body. I want to be my real self in my body instead of my ego self in my body. I now want to be my Christ self in my body, my love self in my body, where I used to want to be the fear self in my body. The body is neutral. It will allow itself to be used by either your ego or the Holy Spirit in you, the love in you or the fear in you, but the body is not the cause of its health.
Right.
So, thank you for sharing. Which means given to yourself. All that you give is 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 given. You pay a bill. All that I give is given to myself. When you pay a bill, go, paying is giving. All the while you write it, paying is giving. All paying is giving. That's your mantra. Paying is giving. Paying. You going to buy that $4 gallon gas? Paying is giving, not giving. Paying is giving. Paying is giving. Paying is giving. I just gave away $4 a gallon. I just gave away $4 a gallon. I just gave away $4. I just gave away $40. I just gave away $100. I just got through shopping. Got me something to eat. I just gave away $70. Whatever they sell, when they ring it up, you go, I just gave away. When you go to the drugstore and you buy something, go, and whatever that's on that ticket, you go, you sit in your car and go, I just gave that away. Paying is giving. Paying is giving. Paying is giving. If you do that, it keeps in your mind the reciprocal law of giving and receiving, and it comes back to you in a very obvious way. But it doesn't come in the way you gave it. It doesn't come back in the form that you gave it in. God is smarter than that. Okay, it comes. Look here. If I'm hungry, I want food, not a dollar bill crammed down my throat. So if I gave, I want it to come back in the way I need it the most in this moment. So when you give, it comes back, not through the people you gave it to necessarily, and not in the way you gave it necessarily, but it will come back to you and more than you gave it in the form you need it in. That's the way it works. So if I teach and I give, a lot of times my biggest income don't even come from the people that come to the class. It'll come from people that I used to teach 10 years ago. Or somebody else. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't always come back to you where you're giving it to. And people really go through a lot with that, especially in relationships, because it seems like you're giving your love or attention to somebody and you're not getting it back. But the truth is, it's coming back to you in other areas of your life that you're being sustained by. But at some point, you should ask yourself, why are you choosing to be in a relationship that doesn't allow you to have the relationships that sustain your own being and growth? That's deep thought.
That's heavy.
You think about that. Most people use their, it's just like if you have a seed and you need that seed to turn into a pecan tree, you know you can't just water it and stick it on the floor. You got to give it all the conditions that allow it to grow: the air, the water, the sunlight. So in order for it to become the tree that's inherent in that seed, it needs the conditions that allow it to do that. That's what the Course is trying to do for us. It's trying to create the conditions, which are peace and innocence, yeah, that allow that seed that we already are to manifest into that divine being that's built in us. But we need the right conditions for our flourishing. And the Course says the most incorrect condition is the condition of guilt and fear. So that's why your biggest enemy is guilt and fear. That's your, that you're going to have an enemy, that's it. It's the feeling guilty and being afraid. So whatever in your life you're using to keep you in those two states, that's what you have to allow to be changed. And it's just a perceptual shift that's necessary, so it's possible to do it today. And if you don't do it today, you're innocent. All right? I'll see you next time, guys. All right.